You just found yourself the most entertaining Iowa sports podcast in the world on today's episode. The big topic is the boys and Coach Kirk Ferentz at Big Ten Media Days, as well as the recently released Iowa Too Deep, the depth chart. First one of the year. That's all after a 42-minute intro conversation where we have some fun and make some jokes. Sit back, relax, let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back. This is the Friendship Podcast. Kevin's checking in from the couch because he just got his back blown out and he said that he just cannot sit for an hour straight. So here we are checking back in. Looks like one of the soldiers is down a little bit. Booty's hurting. Spinal cord's not all the way in alignment. And that's how we're kicking her off.
Definitely needs a striker rep to come save him.
Hey, man, these dudes out here are packing some heat these days. Yeah.
Blew his back out.
Man, he got tore up. That's tough. Yeah, I mean, if you don't bring it, you get laid up. We're back for another episode. I feel like we haven't recorded in a while. It's hot as balls everywhere right now.
Jesus Christ, is it ever?
I mean, Drake sent us a video today of him wringing out his shirt after training. And it looked like...
In between trainings, dude.
Oh, that was just in the middle.
It was in the middle. That was a shirt change.
And that was like, that was the kind of sweat that you could see like the white. You could see the salt.
Yeah, there was all of the potassium in that sweat.
I'm glad you're hydrated at least. You got.
I'm not. I've been cramping all day.
I'm not. I don't do my, you know, electrolyte.
Is there AC in your gym?
No. There isn't.
I think so. Dream of it. So
it's 115 outside. What is it inside the gym?
Painful.
It's like, is it?
We don't do thermometers. We just fucking go into the sweatshop and get hurt.
I mean, that's like warming up's got to be easy though, right?
I go straight from my car to the bike and I ride 15 minutes straight because when you go from like cold to on, it hurts bad. So yeah. I've just been dousing myself with that pain. And by the time I'm done with that 15 minutes on the bike, most people's workouts are done. I look like an absolute pool of fucking filth.
I like hearing that, Drake, because that's the exact same warm up I usually do. I do a little 12 to 15 minute ramp warm up. Start
it
low.
Hurts, man. Those Aerodyne bikes, they always just – the pedals don't move right. They're fucking broken from the time you pull them out of the cock-sucking box.
For anyone out there who wants a real good warm-up, and it may feel like you've overdone it, but if you just settle down for 5 minutes after you do it and your body's ready to work, do like 12 minutes. Go 3-minute intervals, so you got four of them, and just start at like a low cadence and then add 3 or 4 RPMs. For the next 3 minutes, and then another 3 or 4 RPMs, and then finally another 3 or 4 RPMs. And for that, you know, like Drake said, you look like you're done with your workout after that. It's pretty great. You posted something, Drake, that Phoenix was.
We're on like almost day 30 of 115 plus
in a row.
Glad you didn't plant grass.
I did plant grass.
Well, not a whole lawn worth.
Right. Definitely an expensive fucking lot's worth, though.
Be so much water. It's the water.
Is it still alive?
About 65% of the yard looks really good, and 35% I can't do anything about. I overwater it. I put the fertilizer down. I just cannot keep part of it alive. It's just too hot, too dry. The soil sucks too bad. We're not talking about Iowa farmland. We're talking about the side of a fucking rock in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. Grass ain't meant to grow out there, man.
It's ridiculous, mate. I've spent so much money on trying to have green grass that I now don't even care anymore.
You're sucking off lawn experts trying to get a good looking homestead.
I just don't even care anymore. It's like I hate myself.
It's tough. Kev, assuming that Drake's intro wasn't 100% accurate, what did you, why is your back spasming?
Man, I think I just got
old.
Yeah, something. I've been dealing with back issues like on and off for better part of like a year now. It feels like every 2 or 3 months, I just get one that lays me up pretty bad. And so Monday I did a pretty good lower body day and, you know, felt a little tight afterwards, tried to work it out, do some stretching. I go to bed Monday night, wake up Tuesday morning. I'm stiff as a board.
Wedding dick.
I could not.
Yeah, but yeah,
I could not empathize with you more, Kevin, because when I blew my back out lifting 2 months ago,
sitting on cocks,
that bar bent me over worse than, yeah. I still today, I just came home from, we drove to the lake and back this past 5 days, sitting in a car for 5 hours. I'm basically paralyzed.
It might be that I just sit too much. Like I spend a lot of time in the car.
Could be.
And that just tightens up your hip flexors, puts a lot of stress on your lower back. So that, you know, you add in the, you know, stress that you put on from training. And it's just a bad equation for your lower back.
You got to hop out on 80 there and just start doing every 15 minutes, do a quick set of 10 squats on the side of the road.
Yeah. No shit.
There's Kevin. Yeah. Hey, there's Kevin Ward. He's doing his squats.
But yeah, right now, honestly, I think I'd be better suited to do a back workout right now than just sitting in a chair for an hour. Sitting in a chair sounds like actual torture for me right now.
I try not to sit. I'm standing.
I think sitting is horrible for you.
Say it's
like if I had like a desk job, I would definitely get a standing desk.
That's what I've got right now. Standing here as we speak. Well,
were you about to say sitting's the new smoking?
That's what I think 5 or so years ago, the article started coming out saying sitting is the new smoking. I don't believe that, by the way. I would, if you're going to choose to sit a bunch or smoke a bunch of cigarettes, I would definitely say don't smoke the cigarette.
Why not just do both?
Sit a bunch and smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, and then just, you know, start getting trashed every night. Maybe, you know, do some illicit drug. Just go all the way, right?
Move as little as you possibly can.
Yep.
And while you're stationary.
And get as fucked up as possible.
While you're stationary, go through as many packs of cigarettes and bottles
and ingest as much deep fried food as possible.
And just make you an experiment.
I think they already have that. It's called My 600-Pound Life.
And I think there's a lot of them going around. I see a few of those people living that experiment out all the time. It's really sad. But we're glad everybody's here. That's a nice 8.5-9 minute intro of getting us back. I don't remember the last time we recorded. I guess it would have been with Coach a week and a half ago, 10 days ago. Which you guys actually are going to hear Thursday, because tonight's episode is going to contain some relevant information, some time sensitive, some stuff that came out today. We have some Big Ten Media Days stuff going on, some Harbaugh in the news, some PJ Fleck,
fucking Dorp, do
some PJ Fleck in the news, and yeah. But first, what we're gonna do is we're gonna bring Grant in. Hey, Grant.
Hello.
Nice to show up on time today, G-Bone.
What?
It's nice of you to show up on time tonight.
Yeah, you know, fighting a war with the internet some days.
It is tough, that Colorado internet you got out there. We did some reviews of back pocket drinks last time, and I think Drake drank all his. I'm assuming that Kevin's are all gone by now. I'm saving all of mine for the podcast. If you guys want to indulge, you can go grab this one if you still have it. But I'm going to –
you definitely should have told me before I sat my ass down, but I am not getting up right now.
I'm going to try the Tipsy in Tijuana Mexican Lager.
Tijuana.
Shout out Brandon Moreno.
Sounds, to be honest, horrible.
It's not horrible.
Do you like Dos Equis? That's a Mexican lager.
Can't say I've ever had a Dos Equis.
That's a shame. G-Spot, have you tried this one?
I have, yeah. I had it last week. I thought it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
Once Kluver's done sipping here, we can get on with this one.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be. Tastes like beer.
That's good, I think, right?
You know, again, not the best beer.
You pour that out into a cold glass and put a lime in it. That's a really good beer. I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10.
If I'm going to be fully honest, it kind of smells like Drake's car.
Drake's just getting, he's just got 12 cans of those in the back seat, just empty.
I don't know.
A couple of herbs and spices.
It's got a little bit of herbiness to the nose, if you know what I'm saying.
Secret blend of herbs and spices.
Yeah. It's no worse. Here you go, back pocket. It's no worse than any beer I've had, right? And that includes all the normal name brand beers. Doesn't include the Swarm beer. Have not had the Swarm beer yet. But I'll give that on the beer scale. Fuck. What's the best beer I've ever had?
You'd probably say Bud Light, Mulvaney.
I was going to say Blue Moon, honestly.
That's a respectable choice.
Blue Moon's a good beer.
If Blue Moon's in the eights, I guess, or nine range, I'll give the Tipsy in Tijuana a 6.8.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's a little better than that, but sure.
That herbiness,
I think you're lowballing it.
I don't love that. I don't love that that herbiness on the nose. I don't like that. What do you give it, Grant?
I think this is I gave the sour a 7.7. I think this is just slightly above it, anywhere between 7.8, maybe to potential 8. I thought it was pretty good.
It's a good beer.
I think it's a good beer.
I respect that. I am telling the people right now that my review doesn't mean dick and that they should listen to you guys. Drake, you liked this one.
Yeah, I said it's probably about a 7.5. I drank it out of the can. If you put it in a cold beer glass with a lime, it might even be better than that. Maybe drop a little salt in there. I'll bet it'd be a pretty, pretty enjoyable experience. I wish I would probably try it.
You know what? Salt in beer sounds like it would make it more enjoyable for me.
It's just a little bit. You just put a hint.
Yeah, I was just it's not a lot.
Yeah. It's a splash. It's a
little ocean beer.
Little ocean beer, huh? Grant, how you been?
If you go too crazy. I'm good. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I miss you.
I miss you too. I miss all of you guys.
Can we get the Cream Stillery's rating on this beer?
It's 15 feet that way, and I'm not getting it.
Okay.
Oh.
We'll get Kevin's on maybe the next episode. Gotcha. But that was the Tipsy and Tijuana by Back Pocket. Go try them out. How about an Apple review before we get to some stuff?
Oh, it's been a while.
I found one. So for those listening, we currently have 998 ratings on Apple. So we need
to be the lucky 1,000.
We need a couple more of you to go and rate our podcast. 1 to 5 stars doesn't matter. We love 5-star reviews though. And if you want to leave a worded written review, you can. We'll read it like I'm about to do so on this one. And maybe we'll record it on the show. This one says 5 stars. Rogan should have these guys as guests.
So stupid. No. Immediately discredited.
Let me just give you a quick format of a Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast. Drake intros the podcast by roasting Tyler, who's too busy looking at an Insta post he made of himself doing CrossFit to care. Kevin sounds like a fish with a turn signal every now and again, but offers the only useful thoughts that aren't demeaning or narcissistic.
narcissistic?
Tyler, yes, correct. Tyler tells some story about how he's a bad father and can't even stand up from a toilet without getting a concussion. Drake says something that would get all of them canceled if it wasn't bleeped out. Kevin eats something, and then they talk about how he owns Stryker. episode over, and you are still laughing. So you hop on Patreon, give some money to the Iowa Children's Hospital to hear what Drake has to say without the bleeps on DHT. and you get done and realize they mentioned nothing about Iowa sports, but you don't care because you're just itching for the next episode. And if it is about Iowa sports during football season, you get more info than you could have ever imagined. Love you guys.
That might be my new favorite review right there.
More than sentient chicken breast?
The sentient chicken had me dying, but that was a very quality review right there. Shout out to
the sentient chicken breast.
The reviewer didn't put his real name, just goes by the screen name Prodigy1631. So Prodigy, thank you for that. Go review the Washed Up Walk-Ons on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Need two more
to get to 1,000. Jim Leonard. See this, Kev?
No, I didn't. This just come out today?
Yesterday or today. Share screen real quick. Jim Leonard.
Wow.
Going to Illinois, huh?
Hired by the Illini as a senior football analyst.
That's
what do you think about that, huh?
That is not even a lateral move.
Oh, no, not for him. But, no, that's, but for Illinois? Fuck.
I think he's going to want to beat Wisconsin real bad.
Oh, yeah.
He must.
This makes that game interesting.
I mean, I'm curious as to what his mindset is behind taking that job.
I am too.
Because he is extremely overqualified for that.
Yeah, a senior football analyst, dude. What?
So when I see guys get hired as a senior football analyst, and this is my very light take. It's not like I'm seeking out all the senior football analysts out there. It's usually one of two people. It's somebody like Paul Rhodes when he left Iowa State. And I know, I think he actually went and was a DB coach for Auburn or something like that.
Right? Yeah.
But it's a guy like that who failed as a head coach or failed somewhere as a coordinator, and nobody really wants him, but they want to stay at a high level. And so they go on as a senior football analyst, or it's an old guy. It's like a guy who kind of doesn't want to coach anymore.
But yeah, it's like a partial work type gig. Like
it's like a Reese Morgan, but he isn't officially like a senior football analyst. He just shows up to the complex still every day, you know? So Jim Leonard, who is arguably a top five head coaching prospect in the world of college football, I would think.
If not, he's like
top 10 for sure.
Top five, top 10 DC candidate as well.
100%. So going intra division to a lesser team. Now, granted, Illinois is on the come up, and now he's a part of this come up. Bielema's doing things over there.
Now he's got to deal with Bert Bielema.
I will say this, not that they were really competing with Northwestern before, but I said this, I retweeted this and I said, I do not want Illinois to get any better. Fuck. And Jim Leonard makes Illinois better. Their defense was
worse.
He was already their defense last year was already top 10 in the country. So this is interesting. And I saw somewhere that it may be just a 1-year deal. I don't know what he's doing, but it just seems like this guy, I thought he was a lock for the Wisconsin job. And Fickell's obviously, he proved to be a great coach where he was before. I think he will do well at Wisconsin.
That was before they started putting out cringy content, though.
Yeah, before they started lifting and fucking Darth sex Vader dungeon masks. I don't know, man. This one was just weird. It was a little weird. Interesting. I did want to go back to the...
Yeah, it could just be like just a regroup year. You know, you don't want a gap in your resume, but you're...
Sure.
You know, maybe there wasn't the right job out there for you this year, right?
Sure.
And so, like, you know, this is obviously not a long-term deal for him. So just stay close to the game, stay sharp, and then probably look for a better opportunity next year.
Yeah.
You forgot to add hate your life in there.
Yeah, champagne's fun. One more. This came out after we posted our Northwestern thoughts. This says that they were taught. There was more stories or articles that came out about Northwestern and hate all the way back to the 1990s. And then a new article from The Athletic included a memorable quote from a former player who said, quote, "It was weirdo fat guys on the team doing weirdo fat guy shit."
Which is an all-time quote.
That's an all-time quote.
To be and talking about what's going on there.
Given what the original article stated, yeah, that would be an accurate assessment.
Yep.
I will say that in my time in locker rooms from high school through college, the fat guys are generally doing the weirdest shit in the locker room. I think you two would concur on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, man. When I read this, I just thought, yeah, it checks out, you know?
I love him saying it was weirdo fat guys doing weirdo fat guy shit. Like, I mean, funny. That is an all-time explanation.
It's incredible. I don't know if you guys saw, but more has come out from Northwestern about now.
That's funny.
A volleyball coach, a baseball coach. More athletes speaking up over there. And we're going to get to PJ Fleck here in a second. I wouldn't say parallel, but sort of in the similar vibe to it. There's players speaking up at different places around the country. This was the thought that I had when the Iowa stuff happened in 2020. I truly believe with how volatile social media is nowadays that something like what's happening here with Northwestern, what happened with Iowa, could very easily happen
at anywhere,
just about every single school in the country.
Absolutely.
Because
go ahead.
Because at every single school in the country, you have guys or girls, doesn't matter, who feel like their career did not pan. And this gets a little dicey here because I'm not fully, again, this is going to sound like I'm discounting the stuff that the Iowa players said that that was true, or I'm discounting the account from the people who feel like they were sexually assaulted at Northwestern. I'm just saying it could happen in a similar way because there are going to be players who feel like they were slighted. Their careers did not pan out like they thought they were going to. They felt like they didn't get enough playing time. They felt like they were discriminated against. And maybe it did, maybe it did not happen. But with how today's world works, you say something about it, you're probably going to have a couple friends or buddies who are in the same boat or teammates who are in the same boat. And now a couple people say something about it. And that goes on social media. People are going to believe you because it's juicy, because it's scandalous.
Or it's even like, you know, a couple valid complaints come out and then you get the dog shit that comes in with it to pile sure. on, right?
Which was a lot of the Iowa stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Couple valid complaints coming from some reputable guys who were able to just to defend and stand up and kind of speak out some actual credible stuff. And then you have stories of like, oh yeah, KF spit on my car one day. Come on. Like, there's a difference between these stories. So I really think it could happen anywhere.
Yeah, and I think
and it just takes one person. I think
players
something.
Also realize that even as alumni, they have a lot of leverage too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we just saw a almost 2-decade head coach get canned over basically social media reactions, right? I mean,
yeah.
they weren't going to fire him before it came out, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he was unfireable. We talked about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Similarly, over here in the land of the Gophers, this came out today. And this is by Front Office Sports, reputable source.
And I have not seen this yet, so please summarize this for me.
Well, Here the tweet says, Minnesota football players describe the culture under PJ Fleck as toxic since his arrival in 2017. Now, your initial reaction to that is like, well, could have guessed that one, right? Like,
but yeah, he's a weirdo. Yeah.
This goes a little bit deeper. The term cult was used by players who also recall the, quote, Fleck bank, unquote, used to avoid punishment for positive drug tests and rule violations. I did not actually click into this story. This was on the way home right before we got on the podcast, and I just clicked into the article here. It says,
some of it's a little like, come on now. Like, I don't know. So I think some of it's a little overblown personally. But
you think so?
Well, like some of it's like they were mad that it was like they wanted me to like not think of myself as an individual. It's like, oh, so like being a part of a team? Like,
yeah, I can see that. And
well, that goes back to another thing
kind of going towards your last point, Kluv, is there can be a lot of people that have great experiences at a lot of these programs. And at the same time, like, you know, there's a lot of washouts. It's just not for them, you know, good, bad, and different. It's not for them. The culture isn't for them.
And
they can look back and have disgruntled feelings about that, right?
What I was just going to say was it wasn't for them, but they don't understand that it wasn't for them. And they think that it's supposed to be for everybody. And the reason
football is not for everybody.
And college athletics
is not for everybody.
Right. And so then they feel like the reason that their career, their life, their 4 years at said university didn't work out was because they were picked on or they were discriminated against.
And I'm not one to defend PJ Fleck. I think he's an absolute weirdo.
Total weirdo.
I'm just saying in general around college sports that, you know, there's high attrition rates on teams, right? Because it's hard. It's hard stuff. And you do have to give up a lot of personal time and you do have to make personal sacrifices for the greater good of the team. Right. And that can be very difficult on 18 to 22 year old kids, right?
Very.
Now, is that necessarily wrong or bad? No, I think it's just one of the things you sign up for, right? It's a sacrifice you make to get to play college football or college sports.
Here it says kind of what Grant was alluding to. He was making us say, forget about yourself as an individual, the player said. I was baffled because it's not anything logical. If you forget about yourself, then who are you? Added a fourth player, it's based around Flex ego. You have to talk a certain way. You have to be a certain way within the building of the University of Minnesota. It's very much like brainwashing. And it's just like, yes. But like you're not.
I've also heard some weird things about Fleck though. So like,
sure.
Like,
and this could,
yeah, he takes it to like a different level of, I don't even know how to say it, but it's just like, it goes beyond being a team fitting, like falling in line. It's like he's just a weirdo up there. It sounds like.
I agree. But that strikes a chord there, Kev, where, And again, this is it goes back to what Iowa got in trouble for, is it's the Iowa way, right? You drop the ego as an individual player, you become one as the team, you do and live and behave for the team, for the betterment of the program, and that gets taken the wrong way by a lot of young kids. That gets taken by a lot of young kids as, oh, they're brainwashing me. I'm being indoctrinated into this, like I have to forget. I can't be myself. I can't. There's a real kind of fuzzy line between.
Yeah. And I think there is a line, and I often think back to, you remember when we had Mark on the podcast?
Yep.
When he was strength coach, Northwest Missouri,
I believe so.
Yeah. One of the Missouri schools. And he said that his coach had a great line that I wrote down and I won't forget it. If I ever go back into coaching in my entire life, I will preach it. I think coaches today have to do a great job of communicating this, but it's the line was, be you, but align with us, right? Like, we don't want to strip your individuality away from us, from yourself, but you have to align to our values and how we do things here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where,
if anyone I highly recommend you go back and listen to that last episode we did with Mark.
And we need to have him back on because he's in a totally different role now.
Yeah. With Cubbies.
And any time with Mark Wiseman is just good fucking time. That's where I believe, again, the listener can draw their own conclusions. That's where I believe Iowa got into trouble. Doyle got into trouble was he took things. He took that align with us so far in a controlling way. So over the top, probably more than it needed to be at times. Definitely was an asshole a lot of the time when unnecessary, to the point at which it felt, and there's other reasons for this I won't get into, but it felt like to some guys that they were being singled out. Now, they drew their own conclusions on why they were being singled out. I think they were wrong, but yeah, it's interesting. There was only one acceptable answer when Fleck and other staff members asked, how are you doing? Quote, I'm elite. It was sickening because I wasn't okay, the first player said. I wasn't in a good mental spot. I was struggling. I was fighting every day just to get by or find hope. It's not natural to say when someone asks how you're doing to say I'm elite.
Yeah.
When keep
going.
When I said I'm good, Fleck would respond with, oh, you're not elite?
Yeah, so that's like one of those fucking weird things that I 100% believe because I've heard from firsthand accounts that he's a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, he is weird.
And like that has nothing to do with team culture, right? You should be able to go to your coaches and like, hey, I'm struggling right now.
Absolutely.
I need to talk to someone. I need help. Going back to it. Being a college football player is hard.
I was just going to say, in an environment where players are going to be struggling a lot.
As an 18 and 19-year-old kid, you're adjusting to college. You're on your own for the first time away from your parents, plus the demands of a damn near professional level of athletics. It's a tough thing. I can promise you, I was not doing elite 24/7.
I was so far from elite.
Drake was very not elite.
There was a lot of times where we were not doing elite, bro.
Brother, I was down bad for a while.
I didn't reach any two consecutive days of feeling elite until about the summer of 2015, if we're being honest. So
100%, man. Fuck you. It was 2018 before I felt elite.
It was last year, in fact, when Drake felt elite for the first time. No, you're right. You're spot on, Kev. It's an environment where
it's hard. You're going to struggle and you have to push yourself, but
for very few are going to go through their entire college career and just be like, yeah, I just didn't really struggle with anything, you know?
Nah,
Whether that be football, whether that just be zero. Life in homesick. General, like
homesick,
yeah. Like yeah, being homesick too. Yeah.
That happens to almost everybody. I was 40 minutes from home and was still kind of homesick. Like,
yeah,
you don't get through it without struggle. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know what more will come of that or if more Minnesota players will talk.
But did you see the part where he would throw out positive drug tests if you had enough Fleck coins?
That's what they said, the Fleck bank to avoid.
Yeah, how do you get Fleck coins?
I think it's like in a kindergarten points. Class where you get like a golden star for being like in your homework and on time. That's how I interpreted it.
So I take it that these were not actual physical coins that were.
So if you throw
I hope they're coins.
Or make so enough these are kind of like the
Greg tokens that we talked about.
Greg exactly. Tokens. Let's go.
They're not a physical commodity, but they exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's where it gets
they exist to get you a pair of socks, not a drug test thrown out.
And for those that don't understand that, we've talked about drug testing before. The university can do its own drug testing, of which they don't have to report to the NCAA or the Big Ten. So we got tested all the fucking time at Iowa, and 90% of the time, maybe more, it was by in-house testing, right?
And oh yeah, it was probably 95%.
95% or more. Mm-hmm. And that in-house test was simply Coach Ferentz and Coach Doyle, maybe the athletic department as well, sort of agreeing to basically test on a random and frequent basis so that they could pretty much catch.
Just keep you honest.
Yeah, it was to keep everybody honest before it would ever get to a Big Ten or NCAA level. And so
keep me real cocksucking honest there for a while.
And so Fleck, if they do the same
thing. I couldn't show up to the complex without pissing in somebody's hand. I swear to God.
Wow, you pissed in their hand? That's weird. I just used a cup when I did it, but the
I just remember you have to pull your pants down to your knees and do the
and twirl. Show them your wee wee. Hey, look at me. I'm small.
Yeah, you do a little cock circle. It's like, all right, need you to drop those things to your knees.
I've got a cup in my hand and nothing in my ass. Let me take a piss.
I used to sit down and take a dump while I did it. I was getting so frustrated. I kept being on the drug test list.
That's Ike's favorite thing.
In front of the guy.
It's Ike's favorite thing to do is shit in front of a drug tester.
Yeah.
Ike Butker took no more joy than when he was on the list taking a fat, steamy shit in front of the drug testing person.
Because they have to watch you.
Because they have to watch you do it.
Yeah.
It was his favorite thing. I will never forget the first time he told me that story. He came home. I was sitting in the back with Josie, and he goes, "Yeah, I was on the freaking drug test today." And Josie goes, "Oh, were you able to piss right away?" He's like, "Yeah, I just sat down and took a shit right in front of that fucking guy's face." Oh man, yeah, that's wild.
Works.
I don't know what's going to happen with Northwestern or Minnesota or anybody else that comes out. All I know is
I 100% agree with you. We're going to start seeing stories like these more.
I think it's going to come out more and more.
Yeah.
It's so easy for someone to just say something and then, you know, there's a million news outlets out there. Every single one of them's looking for juicy, you know, stories to run. They're like, oh yeah, somebody got discriminated against. Somebody got touched or diddled or somebody. So, you know, they're avoiding drug tests, whatever, you know.
Why is Justin Jefferson trending?
I don't know. Let's move to.
I was expecting you to click the link and fucking find out.
Let me go back. Little impromptu.
Not much.
He's mentoring Jordan Addison right now. Addison
cool?
Oh yeah, that dude, the dude who was speeding to save his dog.
He drove like 150 miles an hour to get his dog to the vet or something.
I'll allow it.
Man, I got PTSD on that.
Yeah, way more understandable than like Henry Ruggs, right? But he didn't kill anybody. But 150, 100 probably will do, right?
No, when you're trying to save your dog, there's no limit.
All right, old Jim Harbaugh, khaki pants. Will be suspended.
Investigation of Michigan.
Speaking recruiting. Of fucking weirdos, man, there's some weird dudes in the Big Ten.
This guy slept in a recruit's bedroom, I think, on his floor.
Okay, but let's just be from three weird dudes here. Kev, you can admit you're a weird dude, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but.
And we know Kluwer's a weird dude. Football coaches. So it's a pot calling the kettle black here, but we can do that because we're also kettles. Weird ones. You have to be weird to be a football coach. Now, yeah. There's different levels of weird, but you have to be weird to be a football coach.
I don't know if weird's the right something, but there's got to be
a lot of something's football coaches I would not describe as weird at all.
There's got
to
be
but something's got to be off because the amount that you're willing to sacrifice in being a football coach is nuts. It's nuts.
Of course, yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of jobs out there that require you to sacrifice a shit ton of time.
Yeah, but not like, under the microscope of being a head football coach at the highest level.
You're right, but that doesn't mean they have to be socially weird.
Right, and that's where I think whatever Drake's talking about, there is something there. I don't know if weird is the word, but yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you, Drake. There is something. There's a screw loose somewhere.
Somewhere.
And it's a specific.
I didn't want his players to eat chicken because a chicken is a nervous animal. Like, that's fucking
weird.
It's
a nervous bird. What?
Yeah.
It's a skittish bird, man. Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA are expected to negotiate, which is interesting to me. That part's interesting to me. A 4-game suspension to start the 2023 season. The suspension is tied to an NCAA investigation into Michigan recruiting. And Grant, you could pop in and give me your, I'm sure you probably read into this more than I did, but from what I could tell in the dialogue around these tweets, it was like he literally got in trouble for buying a recruited cheeseburger.
Something. He bought hamburgers. Yeah.
And like they were texting him out when it was supposed to be recruiting dead periods. But from what I glanced over the article was they would have gotten like a slap on the wrist from that is that they lied to NCAA investigators.
And then they lied. Yeah.
That was what got him the bigger punishment.
Okay.
Who tells the truth these days, though?
The four games that they're going to miss. Let me see if I can.
Dude, it's hilarious that it's just negotiable, you know?
I thought was hilarious.
What do you want to do? Well, what do you want to give me? Four games, but what do you got for me?
He's like, hey, but can we make it three? You know? Like they're going back Harbaugh, and forth
I kind of like the way your wife's looking. Let me get a closer look. You get two games, not four.
Two games, and I get to bend her over and see.
Jesus.
Hey, you let me stay at your vacation house. We'll make this one game. Slap on the wrist, huh? I don't know.
Eyes wide shut, me and your wife, you're clear. No games.
It was funny how someone made a great point. They got four games. Or he gets four games, but Tennessee gets like hardly any punishment for all the recruiting violations they had like a couple years ago with the coach that's no longer there. I get it. But they were talking about obviously Ohio State's fan base chimed in. They're like, only Jim Harbaugh in Michigan would get this sort of home cooking on something where, you know, or maybe Michigan was saying that. Michigan was like, only we would get a four-game suspension when Ohio State, they were covering up like domestic disputes and they didn't get as much as this. Or the crime fitting the punishment is often very random.
But this is like something that is like directly in the NCAA's purview. Like,
sure.
You know, like the situation with the Ohio State assistant, like, I don't exactly know, but it doesn't really feel like something the NCAA has jurisdiction over.
Right.
Versus like it was set up literally to regulate intercollegiate sports, recruiting being a big factor in that.
No, that makes sense. It was Big Ten Media Day today for the boys.
Dude, I thought it was pretty cool that Cooper got to go, man.
Three juniors. Actually, Josie was the first ever. I remember that was a big deal.
Wait, in what world is Cooper Jr.? He redshirted and he played one.
3 years?
Oh, no. I guess like junior by eligibility or junior by like tenure. I was thinking eligibility.
I mean, technically he has, I think, three more years.
Yeah.
But
I just see him as such a young guy still.
Well, you look at his face, and it's like, this kid is 12.
I like his gray suit, man. Look at the
bank after the draft next year.
What?
Nothing.
He said he's going to have about 12 mil in the bank after the draft next year.
Oh, he absolutely will. He absolutely will. Preseason pick for Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten, by the way.
Swear?
Yeah.
How about that, dude? What does that feel like, man? Just a kid from OBGYN, Iowa, is the leader in the clubhouse right now? Golly, that's got to be cool.
I always thought preseason awards are the single dumbest thing
ever. They are, but you're so hyped for your season already, and then it just gives you more to be hyped about, you know? Like for him, he's like, yeah, dude, like the season's coming up. I'm the lead guy in the clubhouse. Like, now it's time to go prove it. Just give me hype.
Sure, whatever, yeah.
I think the most impressive thing about Coop is the way his teammates and coaches talk about him, in my opinion.
When you have an assistant coach calling you now, Kinnick, that is actually insane.
It's extraordinary.
That first night when we did the interview with Lon and those guys, and they all just – they were literally like, yeah, he's magical. Like, he has superpowers. That is, it's just, the only person that we ever talked about like that kind of was CJ. It's like, you know?
I don't know. For a while, I thought Desmond had superpowers.
Desmond was on some other shit in 2015 for sure. KF was there, obviously. They fly that private jet over there. Must be nice. They asked about Cade. He said, Cade is such a quality person, first of all. He's a strong leader. We were believers just watching him throughout the season on crossover film. But as you know, when you're on the field with a guy, you get a whole different feeling. And we're glad he's with us. People are pretty hyped about that quote. Then he, quote, tweeted that on Twitter and said, couldn't be happier to be a Hawkeye. Truly honored to be a piece of such a great program and play for such a great man. Go Hawks. Get me fired up now.
It would be so cool to be the Hawks quarterback, man.
Wouldn't be bad, you know?
Be really cool.
Yeah, there's him getting preseason honors. It's KF was asked.
I think the old fan base is starting to get fired up again for the season.
I think it hit me today. Today was the day it felt like, okay, the
snowball, right around the corner, boys.
Yeah. Snowball has started to roll. Exciting also that KF was asked about, I don't even know if he was asked, he might have just said this openly. The biggest difference from this year's team to last year's team is going to be the maturity of the offensive line. If you remember last year, he was not shy. I don't know about shy is the right word, but he didn't hold back when he talked about the offensive line being a point of concern going into the season. Mm-hmm. And it very much so ended up being a concern every single game for the Hawks last year. And with him, KF doesn't bullshit. And for him to say that the maturity of the offensive line will be by far the greatest difference, maybe their biggest improvement, I think was the words.
I hope maturity comes with improved on the field performance. Because they were young, right?
Sure.
I had a staff member tell me that nobody knows it, but we've got four NFL offensive linemen on this team.
Talking about last year's team.
Yeah. This was said to me last year. And he's like, but they're just young.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. And and with that, we actually get the depth charts. So this is, you know, they came out with depth charts and I think they always put these out. They never put too much emphasis into the depth charts over there in Iowa City. But this is what you're
D line, man.
This is what you're looking at for defense. And boys, let me tell you what, I couldn't ask for more. You know, we'll talk about that offensive line here in a second. But look at this defense.
I'm trying to find a weak spot in this defense. I just don't see it.
Can't. My only question would be, how are Jay Higgins and Kyler Fisher going to fare as a second level compared to
Sebastian Castro was young.
I mean,
I guess it says he's a senior. He hasn't been all that consistent. I would say that our linebacking core has a lot to prove this year.
I like the way, for the most part, that Sebastian Castro played last year in that
game. I don't dislike the way he plays. Especially I just think towards he's the end been inconsistent.
And I would expect Nick Jackson to be one of the inside backers between him and Higgins. That would probably be my expectation coming.
So you think he's going to replace Kyler?
Oh, man, it ain't bad to have depth. That's all.
No, it isn't at all. And linebacker is a tough position to play.
Yep. Deontay Craig, Noah Shannon, Logan Lee, Joe Evans.
Yeah, I fucking love this defensive line.
Wow.
And the great thing, like, we rotate our defensive lines pretty regularly because that's a very tiring position to play.
Yeah, look at the backups, dude.
You got two real good rotations in there.
Llewellyn, who got time last year, I believe, a little bit. Graves, who got a little time last year, and they see him as a star eventually. Y.A.
Isn't
Black,
Aaron Graves massive?
I actually don't know. Well, yeah, it says he's 6'4", 293.
Oh, I honestly didn't even look at that. I feel like I've seen pictures of him, and he is gigantic.
Well, he's a man. Yeah. I mean, those eight. Ethan Herquette, I know, had a couple big tackles last year. Great plays.
And this is why I'm not worried about a little bit less experience of a linebacking core. They're going to have the defensive line eating up a lot of blocks for them.
A lot, yeah. Dude.
They are not going to have to make up for a whole lot of mistakes from that front four.
And yeah. You know what? The people haven't heard it yet, but when they listen to Abdul's podcast on Thursday, they're going to hear about why he had less tackles in 2004. And it's because he then went on to name that defensive line, and it was fucking stacked. Oh my God. Dude, this
And then the back four too, man. That's a damn good secondary.
Now we do have a question, right? We do have a little bit of a question in depth in the secondary.
Yeah, we do.
But. So for those looking or watching, and we encourage you to sign up for the YouTube. Sign up, fucking subscribe to YouTube, hit the notification bell. I don't know how much Kevin and Drake will be involved. We might be able to get Drake on some. Gary and I. G-Bone and I plan to do some live shows every week, little Hawkeye daily news show, very short kind of live stuff on YouTube. So we're going to be doing more there. But if you can see here on the screen, we've got Cooper, X, Quinn Schulte, Jermari Harris. Fucking love those four, right?
Yeah, that's a great four.
That's an incredible four. That's
like
a top.
You said, everything after that four is an unproven commodity.
So, you know, Sebastian slotted in as the Leo Cash position, and then he's also the backup at strong to Xavier Wampa. TJ Hull, who we know as the guy
who's a pretty highly recruited cat, isn't he? I feel like I know the name.
He's the guy that came in when Coop got hurt against Nebraska and got burned last year, right? So
wasn't ready to go.
We had some trial by fire there, and I'm sure he's learned from that.
Yeah.
Still needs to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two guys who have not gotten playing time, both highly touted recruits, I believe. This Cohen Entringer is an athlete, bro. Absolute dog athlete. And I don't know anything about Deshaun Lee, but again, it's Phil Parker, right? Guy just knows what he's doing. He doesn't put guys in those spots if they're not going to be ready. So I just trust.
But I feel great about that starting four. You got a lot of talent, and I think you got a lot of guys who will make sure people are in the right spots, getting the right calls, getting the right checks, that there's not going to be a whole lot of miscommunications, not a whole lot of mental errors. Basically, we're going to be able to play really good, sound, fundamental Iowa football with this defense, and it's going to be another top 10 defense. I'll be disappointed if they are not a top 10 defense in a myriad of categories.
I was just going to say, if they're not top 10, I'd be disappointed, and I would not be surprised if they're top 5. I mean, just I know people don't look at it this way, but if you take away the linebackers, because it's, you know, we're just kind of unproven there. There's not a ton of experience. We lost a couple dogs in those positions, and you go across KF's tenure. I don't know if, I mean, you can definitely find a couple other years, but this year is going to have a defensive line rotation and a starting four in the secondary that rivals just about every other one in the KF era. You look at that, you look at the top 7 or 8 defensive linemen and the top 4 DBs, and I don't know another year that comes to mind where you could 100% say that we had more talent there. I mean, we're fucking loaded. And you love to see it.
Yeah.
Lots of love for the fullback today on Twitter, by the way.
Lots of love for the fullback.
Well, before you go to the next, to the offense, we have a very solid special teams unit.
And by the way, we'll probably be top 5. Torrey Taylor is the preseason pick in a lot of publications to be the first team All-American punter. Drew Stevens was money last year as a young kicker. And Luke Elkin is probably 2 or 3 times better than I was at long snapper. And I was serviceable. I was very serviceable. So we're good.
It's good to know our long snapper can at least ride all the rides at Disney. One we had was fucking Smurf. So what were you saying about the fullback, G-Bone? Talk to me.
You're just getting a lot of love.
Look how fucking big he is, huh?
Okay, so first of all, that's not a fullback. That's a tight end. He's wearing 88. He's standing 6'5". So get one thing perfectly clear here.
He's going to put his hand in the ground, and he's going to be running the B, though.
Well, but if I was 6'5", they'd be saying, George who?
You're probably right. This is Hayden Large. He is from Dort University.
And he is large. Also,
he's 6'5",
lives up to the name.
Grant, could you possibly see if he has?
And he played for the Dort Defenders?
Sure did.
And he grad transferred in here to play fullback for us?
Sure did.
Oh, talk to me dirty. Come on, Hayden.
Hey, Hayden, get gritty on. Get gritty on him. Come on now.
Yeah, show me a picture of this guy.
Yeah, Grant, see if you can find that.
Bring me up some film. I want to see him drop his pads. Because I'm 6'1" maybe 6'2", probably not even 6'2" though. And it was hard for me to get my pads down.
Right. It's hard to get low, man. Low man wins. I really do love, before we get to the thing in question, the offensive line. I really love what we've got in the running back room. Caleb Johnson, LaShawn Williams, and Jazz Patterson, man.
Yeah, he's a big boy, that's for sure.
He rocks a little dirty mustache in that picture.
The neck up, he definitely looks like a guard.
Nope.
He had a good catch in the sprint.
His arms look like he may have flipped burgers at the high school.
I was going to say, probably needs to hit the weight shark.
Listen, Hayden, you've got a new fan, bub. I'm immediately a fan. Let's go run some B-plays. Let's get after it.
He's going to be blocking for some talented running backs.
Yeah, I love what we got going on in the running back room.
Cade McNamara, quarterback. Hey, dude, take me to the promised land.
Hey, hold on. Before we leave this fullback thing, though, why is there not a second fullback on the depth chart? Are they phasing him out of, or are they phasing this position out of?
Grant here has pulled up, for those watching, a clip of Hayden Large making a play in the spring game. See it replay here in a second.
Very nice.
Know it, young buck. Got some hands on him.
Are they trying to phase the position out? Are they saying, like, we only need one because we're barely going to use him?
Hey, modernizing football, you know?
Don't do that to me.
Useless position, they say.
Don't do that to me.
Maybe they just ran out of brain-dead ex-linebackers.
They couldn't. Too many people have been listening to the walk-ons, and they said, fucking nobody wants to play the position.
Yeah, I'm not fucking going there to play
fullback. Have you heard that Drake guy on the podcast thing? That guy says
it stinks.
That guy says don't do it. And he's fucking crazy. So I like what we got at fullback. I like the running back room. Cade is my Heisman winner until he proves differently.
And really? Because Coop's my Heisman winner.
That's true. That's facts. And that leaves us with our tight ends. Luke Lachey and Eric Hall.
6'3", 260-pound quarterback.
Yeah, that's our transfer from Wisconsin, Deacon Hill.
He's gonna be the quarterback sneak specialist.
Can you imagine the amount of triples Deacon's gonna be eating at snack on Friday night?
Bubba, that's not a quarterback, that's a skid loader.
Can you imagine? Nah, dude, this is great. We're gonna have our 6'3", 260-pound quarterback running a sneak with our 6'4", 260-pound fullback running right up his ass.
Yes, please, baby. Come on.
It's going to be unstoppable.
We're QB sneak you, huh?
QB sneak you, baby. I'm still upset that we did not sneak it for the fourth time versus USC.
Oh.
That would have been all time.
But, talk about fully tented.
Yeah. I like our running back situation. Quarterback, we have a guy who's proven that he can win in the Big Ten.
Tight ends are good.
We're a little thin.
Well, yeah, we have a geriatric Nico Ragaini in there. But the guy can make plays, tell you what. Now, after that, there's some things to talk about here. We have a transfer, Caleb – what's his fucking name? Caleb Young?
Brown, I think.
Caleb Brown from Ohio State. I don't know how long he's even been with the program at this point.
Rusty Feth got beat out at guard.
Well, and so that's another thing we're going to talk about here. A lot of hype.
Not expecting that big boy to get beat out.
Other than Cade, they haven't done a whole lot with the transfers on the depth chart, right?
I don't think Caleb Brown has practiced a snap with the Hawks yet.
Right. So he's expected to maybe come in and be serviceable at a receiver.
And he's reminder, he's a young guy too.
Yes.
I think he was a true freshman last year at Ohio State. and I don't think he really played.
I believe so. I believe that's correct.
So this is not a guy with a whole lot of experience under his belt.
Deonte Vines excites me. I like what he showed last year in spurts, in small batches. He is a little bit electric. Reminds me a little bit of Amir. Guy can run. He's shifty. I think he's a playmaker. I think he could do stuff for us. If we can get Caleb Brown or somebody else to step up, I mean, three receivers is all this offense needs, right?
Two receivers, man. Look at the tight end room. We got Luke Deshaies and Eric All. We're going to be in 12 personnel a lot.
And to be quite honest, this Addison Ostrenga kid, the third string tight end, I think he's going to make some plays too. Big recruit coming out of high school. He's 6'4", 255 already as a sophomore. I think he's going to make plays. And that really brings us to the line where I think that sparked most of the conversation today online. Expected returners here were Richmond at left tackle. The young Colby, I believe, was at left guard last year starting. And then Logan Jones at center. We really had to shore up that right side. Colby has been shifted back behind Nick DeYoung, who was at right tackle a lot last year. Nick DeYoung, the oldest.
I got to admit, I was surprised to see Jennings Dunker play a right tackle. I was expecting him to be a guard.
Well, and this is what excites me. He just won the hay bale toss at Solon Beef Days.
For the second year in a row.
2 years running.
All-time record, right?
And he set the all-time record beating Werfsi and Linderbaum.
How about that?
I don't think that directly correlates, but sign me up.
There is a correlation that is positive there.
But sign my ass up for the Jennings Dunker fan club. We already heard about how many protein shakes this man consumes. I'm on the train.
Oh, okay? I've been on the train since he was drinking 18 protein shakes a day.
So if he's – and notice behind him, we got the Virginia transfer, Dejon Parker.
Man, that's right.
So
neither of the transfer offensive linemen find the day one starting lineup.
I think there's a chance. We still have a whole
camp. Again, these guys have not had a whole lot of snaps in the Iowa program offense. I think there can be a lot of change here in the next month between what we see here and what we see before Utah State.
And I think the most possible one is when you look at that right guard spot. Bo Stevens was iffy last year, right? He was one of those guys who he was hit or miss. They were all hit or miss, let's be honest. That right side where he was often but behind him sits the Miami of Ohio transfer Rusty Feth. He started every single game for 4 years for that program,
and he looks like a Viking.
Correct. He looks like he should be in Gears of War.
Did he go through spring ball with the Hawks?
He did not. Or did he?
I'm not sure on him.
I don't know either. I think he came after.
Well, this makes a lot of sense then.
But I believe once they get into camp, like Kevin said, and they start to get some reps in the Hawkeye uniform, I think old Rusty's going to find his way into that top five. That'd be my guess.
I just want a guy with that much experience playing.
Same. Yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm.
He did not practice in the spring.
All right. So this checks out. So I, you know, as a fan here, if you're listening, I would not be shocked to see some shifting around here, especially on the offensive line, to hear Coach Ferentz again say that the maturity, and I'm assuming, and maybe it's not safe to assume all the time, but I'm assuming it when he says the maturity is going to be better, I think the production is probably going to be better as well. That excites me.
Well, it's also another year in the weight room, right? We talked about that a lot last season.
Young guys.
Young guys, and you know, you need not only to develop mentally, and offensive line's a hard position to play, but it's the toughest position to play when you're unprepared physically. And another year of growing into your body, another year of weight room, being able to be more physical, it can do a lot. So
you got to imagine.
They look huge. So, I mean, 315 across the
looks
board.
Looks like a big line.
They've got fucking size, man. I mean, if you just take the starters right now, you've got Richmond at 6'6", 312. DeYoung at 6'6", 305. Logan Jones at 6'3", 290 as a center. Stevens as 6'6", 320. If you throw Rusty in there at starting right guard, at 6'5", 310. Jennings Dunker 6'5", 320. That man's a behemoth. I mean, they're that's a line now.
And some big boys. We got to see them move their feet, protect, and move from people from point A to point B.
You got to imagine if they can just be okay, right? We've got Cade back there. He's won a Big Ten championship. He knows how to play quarterback. We've got a decent stable of running backs. We have some all-star tight ends. No pun intended. And then you get a couple of receivers that can make plays. If your run game is working, your pass game works a little bit better.
We know our special teams game is going to be good, and our defense is not going to allow a whole lot of big plays. This offense just needs to move the ball a little bit.
I'm convinced. 15-0. Book it.
The schedule is very favorable this year.
We're going to do we're going to save that. We're going to save the schedule.
We'll
and maybe
save that, but yeah.
The hype, Kev, that you started, the feeling of, oh, it's...
I think that the hype in the Hawkeye world is starting to... The fire is starting to get a little bit burnt up a little bit.
It's palpable.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting the kindling going.
I like it.
And I think there's a reason to be excited. I think we'll talk about it in a future episode. But
We will. We're going to save the schedule. I'm actually going to reach out to the Discord and try and aggregate some predictions on our record this year, game by game. And we're going to use the Discord. We're going to use some media predictions from online, and then we're going to give our own. We'll make that an episode. Now some hype in the washed up. What'd you say?
We got a top five.
We do have a top five.
Oh, Kev, shit.
Did you do your top five or no?
Nah, but I'll think about it.
We could save it. We've gone for an hour and 10 minutes.
No.
Okay. See if I pull up my.
Can I get a clarifier on the top five?
Yeah, go for it.
Or do you want to introduce the topic first?
Yeah, top five summer things, just things that are in any way associated with summer. I kind of went obscure here. I didn't go just
it's not like traits of summer. It's like things you. Is it like things more you do in summer?
Correct. Yes. Anything.
Any association. You could literally say the weather.
You could, if your birthday is in weather. July, you could say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I don't think that applies to anyone here.
It does not to me. I don't know what – no, Grant's birthday's in March. Anybody want to kick it off with a number five?
All right.
Yeah, sure. The guy who doesn't have a list. Number five is the amount of daylight that you get. I actually love the amount of daylight we get because I, for one, definitely suffer from what do you call that when it gets dark?
Seasonal depression.
Seasonal depression. That's a real fucking thing.
It's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a bitch. And this makes my list as well. We'll get there, but good pick, Kev. Drake?
My number five is pool basketball.
Pool basketball. That's a clutch little pull there. I like that.
I like it a lot.
I like that. My number five, kind of out there, but the Summer Olympics. I love the Summer Olympics.
I do too, but I mean that's a one in every
once
four
every
summer.
4 years.
It's my number five.
Tough pick.
It's what I thought about first when and I don't know why, but Summer Olympics. Grant,
I wrote down a lot of stuff, so I'm kind of.
Grant prepared a top 50.
Yeah, so I don't know if we'll have an honorable mention portion of this, but so my five though was wishing it was football season. Just sitting around on Twitter a lot, looking at
final stretch,
looking at that first weekend, watching highlights, getting ready for it. I know you guys are talking about it as like it's sitting in now. Like I've been waiting since February. I've been waiting forever for this, so it's that time of year for me.
I love it.
See, this is why Grant needs to be a full-time member of the podcast, because he's the only one else on here that actually likes fucking football.
He likes it way more than me. Way more.
That's all I do. I'm about to do – it's in the fall, it's 12-hour Saturday, sleep for like 6 hours, then wake up and do the same thing again.
And that's the American dream right there, Grant.
It's all anyone wants.
You're a red-blooded American who has just great American values.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Grant, I will say before we move on to our fours, I'm very excited to have you along for the ride during the season. I cannot wait for what you will bring in excitement and recap and all of that when football season is actually going on.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We're happy to have you. Oh, Kev, you have a number four?
Number four, I'm going to go with the 4th of July, my favorite holiday.
Wow, how did I not put that one down? I might have to, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to
make the list.
I didn't think of it. Drake, what do you got?
Your patriotism is in question.
It is.
I'm going to go. Number four for me is golf. Grew up playing golf all summer, and then one of the best things in the entire world was post-workout golf in the boys in the summer at Iowa. So just all around, that's summer top five.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be on at least one of your lists.
Is that still a top five? Can you even play golf in the summer in Arizona?
Yeah, my mom and I actually just went out the other day while she was here. No, we played. It was like 8:45, and it was hot for sure. But she rode around the cart, and I played nine holes. And yeah, okay.
Still play. I saw it was 101 at past midnight. Anyway, like it doesn't even help.
Yeah, it takes a little while for it to cool off, but overnight it'll cool off.
My four is going to be it doesn't require a shirt. You don't require a shirt ever in the summer, and I'm a big fan of that.
This guy is just a tool all the way through his fucking bones.
This just reminded me of the review that we read today.
Yeah, it's a thing because it's a thing, right? I'm that guy. I don't know why I'm wearing a shirt right now. Grant?
My number four is outdoor concerts. This might be just Colorado because we have so many great venues for them. But I've been to a couple here in the past few weeks, and they're just always like the highlights of my summer. You know, get a couple drinks, great music. If the weather's perfect, it's even better. But an outdoor concert is the best.
Did you make it to T-Swift Eras Tour?
I did not have $3,000 to spare for Taylor Swift. No.
Sounds good.
If you did, would you have gone?
Oh yeah. Why not? I've heard it's a great show.
Yeah,
like even then, it's just a free concert. Like sure. She's Taylor. Like I think even if you don't like Taylor, like I mean, like good it or not, you know the songs.
Good production. Like,
you can sing like good or not, you know the songs.
Like you know, you know the lyrics.
That reminds me of a quote I've heard or I saw on the internet. It's like everything I know about the Kardashians, I know against my will.
it's similar. That checks out. Good fours. Okay, Kev, I got a three.
Number three, I'm going to go with kind of along the same line, but I'm going to go with outside drinks, drinking outside.
Little deck beer?
Some patio beers, you know, getting out to the...
Oh, Kevin just fucking went robot.
Rest in peace to you, Kevin. Patio beers.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Kev.
What'd you say after patio beers?
Being outside drinking, going to the brewery, going to a nice little winery, man, just drinking outside. It's fun.
But it has to involve booze, huh, you fucking fiend?
Yeah.
Likes his pops.
Makes it a little more fun.
Likes his pops. You got one, Drake?
I'm going to go with Hawaiian shave ice.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Used to have a little tropical snow in Marshalltown. Hit that. A little tiger's blood. It's good stuff. Number three
in Hawaii is quite nice. Hawaiian shave ice.
Number three for me is going to be no school. It was my favorite thing ever. We've talked about on this. We talked about this many times about how I was not a great student.
You weren't even a good student.
Wouldn't even classify as an average student, probably. And so when there was no school, I was happy. It's good shit. Grant?
All right, yeah, my number three, we mentioned this earlier, but I have the 4th of July. Any true patriot has this in their top five. It's a great holiday. You get Joey Chestnut slamming hot dogs, a little baseball, day off from work. It's a great holiday, great to celebrate this great country.
Can we get this guy a full-time gig?
No, we don't have enough money. We're broke.
Well, we'll sell him some equity. Can we each give him a little bit of equity?
Do I get the 0.1% if you – or a point – is yeah, I get the 0.1% if you guys each own a third.
It would be 1%. You'd get 1%.
Well, you
currently own 33.4%. Yeah, Kluber, give them your 1%.
And we'll talk. Number two.
Number two, I'm going to go with boating. I love boats, being on a boat.
But you probably haven't done. You guys sold the lake house, right?
We sold the lake house and we sold the boat. So
Motherfucker.
Yeah, it's been a tough last two summers, but
you'll find worry. It again.
We'll get back there.
I know you will.
Yeah, once you own the company.
Trying, Drake. I'm trying.
That's a big boat.
I like boats.
Boats and hoes. Drake.
Football offseason training.
Summer training for you was made the list.
It was like in high school growing up. I mean, what is more fun than being a meathead in the summer, going to the weight room, lifting, doing all those offseason competitions, talking about chicks. Dude, you had going in the weight room and lifting before the season, you just got all these envisionments of you scoring 50 touchdowns and going and playing for Alabama and shit. Dude, offseason training was great. And then in the summer in Iowa, it was the best block other than the season because we were actually playing football then.
So how was it for you guys? Because we actually practiced in the summer.
We weren't allowed to do that. No, we modeled our offseason just like Iowa. We had a musky, you know, offseason teams, and you did the challenges and the this, that, and the other.
Okay, so we got 15 practices in June and July. Doesn't matter how you formatted them, but you had 15 practices. Then you started camp, two-a-days, like 2 weeks before the season started. That's how we did in high school.
Some of our players wouldn't have sucked so much if we'd have fucking had 15 extra practices.
At Marshalltown, the season ended, and for 70% of the people on the team, the season ended in October, November, whatever, and then you showed up to camp day one, and that was how it worked. For guys like me and Gimble, we went to the weight room 3 times a week in the summer, and yeah.
Tough. Our offseason program was very fun. We had a good time over there in Muscatine.
My number two is going to be ice cream runs on the mopeds with the boys.
The old Dairy Queen run or
the old DQ. It could have been a Heinz. We probably weren't taking the moped to Heinz, but it could have been a Heinz. It could have been a DQ. Just give me an ice cream summer evening, that cool, crisp summer night air. Hey, you guys want to get some ice cream? Oh, fuck yeah. Some apple pie sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it?
Eating some apple pie ice cream on the 4th of July, it's
doesn't get much better.
On a boat.
Out on the boats.
Drake's not a big boat guy. I'm not a huge boat guy either, to be honest.
Grant, you probably like boats, don't you?
It kind of depends. I've have a couple reckless boat driver friends that makes the experience a little.
Okay, yeah, we have one of those in this chat. Boats,
yes or no?
Overall positive. My stance on boats is yes. Pro. Okay. I'm pro boats.
Grant is officially my best friend on the podcast now.
I'm pro wakeboarding and boat sports. I'm not. I don't want to just go be on a boat.
I'm pro.
I have no interest in cruises.
I'm pro running cruise. Kevin over with a jet ski.
Yeah, and you know what? Every day that goes on, I wish that you had.
I get it.
it was close.
It's a nice little 40-mile-an-hour jet ski straight to the dome. That's just my dome's just bobbing out of the water. You just could have smacked me. And
dude, RIP to Nyheim Hines season.
What happened to him?
I think from what I saw, Grant, back me up on this, he was out boating. He was on a jet ski. He was just sitting there kind of floating, and somebody else on another jet ski ran into him from the side.
Who? And he's on the jet ski or Nyheim he's in Hines. The water?
I didn't see this. What?
Yeah, he's out for the year.
I did not know this.
Well, yeah. Fuck, he probably broke a leg and three other things.
Yep. Grant, what was your number two?
My number two, I can't believe none of you guys said this. My number two was tight end university. It is the premier event of the summer. Bunch of America's best athletes, and our friend athletes. George Kittle and, your boy's doing, anything, he can to potentially get an invite back in the future. So I wanted to make sure I included it in the top five.
I fucking love this kid.
Dude, you're so much more likable than me. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
And that brings us to our number one.
You know, as much as I love ice cream, I feel like it should have been on my list somewhere. But, you know, summer break. You can't beat summer break as a kid. Yeah. There is absolutely nothing better.
Yeah.
Wait. You can't – if it's just summer things, you can't just pick summer.
It's from school, though.
Yeah, it's summer break. Oh, okay. Man.
All right.
It's like, you know, last day of third grade is June 3rd, and you don't have to show your ass up until August 25th. And it's awesome.
It's always fuck yeah. We're going to the Little League Diamond. Let's play double or nothing.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you guys grew up in like neighborhoods, like, or if you were pretty isolated where you grew up. But...
what kind of question is that?
Oh, like I don't know, like,
did like you guys, how many houses trailer were around you? Right? How poor were you guys?
You could be in a rural area without.
Yeah, you could be in a rural area, or you. Yeah, exactly.
It just sounded funny to me.
There was a shit ton of kids that were our age in our neighborhood.
So I know I was rich. I had neighbors. What about y'all?
Fuck you guys.
Did you guys have people where you grew up? Or what?
Oh man, Kevin got crushed on that one.
I get it, Kev. All the neighborhood kids would, you know, eventually everybody would be outside. You'd join up. You'd start a football game.
We could literally always get a pickup football game or baseball game going. And, yeah.
Fuck, that's funny.
Just go ride bikes was always
good. Riding bikes around the neighborhood, man.
Riding bikes was the shit.
My buddy would just knock on my door and he's like, you want to ride bikes? And then I'd just be 9 hours of just riding in a cul-de-sac in a circle.
Yeah.
Dude, we played a game of kick the can that lasted like 5 hours one time.
You show up at home. Your parents had no idea where you were all day. Eat dinner. Go back outside.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. It's like, hey, be home before it's dark, right?
Right. Yeah. Drake, you're number one.
School's out for summer, baby.
Yeah.
It's unbeatable.
Yeah, it's tough to beat. Mine goes back, call back to Kevin's first one is the
I just want to call back that Kluke chose ice cream over that.
I mean, ice cream is pretty fucking good.
I mean, come on now.
If we're calling balls and strikes, ice cream is clutch. I chose clutch. Hawaiian shave ice because I can have ice cream all year.
Hawaiian shave ice was only open over summer break.
You're right. I probably could have put these were kind of just I listed them out and then I kind of just threw them in an order when we started this. But you know, my number one is going to end up being it's light out till. I mean, it's still light out right now. It's 8 o'clock, and I think we still got an hour or so left.
I enjoy the fact that it's light at 5 a.m. better than light at 9 p.m.
Love that.
In fact, you just wake up at 5 p.m. or 5 a.m. naturally.
Yeah.
And it's,
if it could only be dark from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. every day for every day of the year, I'd love that. Give me that.
No. We need more than 6 hours of darkness.
Okay. But we cannot have that winter bullshit where it's dark by 4:45.
No. I would rather have 6 hours of darkness than 6 hours of light that we have like in the middle of December.
Right.
That shit sucks.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Talk about seasonal depression. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I want to kill myself.
Epstein didn't kill himself. And that's how we'll end this episode.
Oh,
my number one is golf with the boys.
Golf makes your number one.
I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous pick.
Yeah. Almost missed the episode, but it's the best thing. I mean, it's like the middle of December, you just think about, how cool would it be if I was golfing with the boys right now? Just escape life for a little bit. It's a free 4.5 hours. You just get to be outside. It's beautiful out. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Top five summer things. Give us your thoughts on your top five summer things. What did we miss? Whose list was the best around here?
Speaking of lists missing, Epstein's client list still ain't out. He didn't care.
I knew that was coming.
Incredible. We'll talk to you next time. Till then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.